Hello and welcome to Electric House. My name is Brian Krogsgaard, here with Josh Ulswich. Hey, Josh.
Mr. Brian, good to be here. Good to be with you.
It's great to be with you, sir. A pleasure indeed. Still cold. I don't know why I brought up the weather. I hate talking about weather on the podcast. I'm not going to do it.
It's a natural human connection because everyone
is
experiencing it.
You know what I'm going to use this time instead for is to say, if you are listening to this on audio, you should check us out on YouTube sometime if you want to see the charts that go along with it. We are on all platforms. We're streaming on Twitch right now if you just must listen live. You can also just go to YouTube and look up, I think it's youtube.com/ledger status or something like that. We are on video. You can see the charts on video, and right now you can see Josh's face and his fingerless trading gloves and the whole nine.
My Valkyrie,
his Valkyrie beanie. Josh works at Valkyrie now. Are you the director of research?
No, I'm the head of research.
Head of research. I've promoted you. check out Valkyrie. I don't know what they do, but
fancy stuff.
They do fancy stuff. Institutional stuff. Yeah. So don't forget the video if you just want to reference back because you're listening, you know. Thanks for being here with us. Josh, are we making a grinding bottom low or am I just speaking hopium?
I don't know what we've been doing. It's just been, we had the Fed conference, FOMC meeting. I don't know.
FOMC.
Here's the problem with all of this, okay? I don't even want to bother paying attention to any of it. I never have. I've never been interested in it. I know it's a big deal. I know it's important. I know as Bitcoin gets bigger, as crypto gets bigger, it's going to have a connected impact. But that's not why we're here, is it? To listen to some guy talk about
Josh, the dollar? I have a pop quiz for you.
Okay.
What does FOMC stand for?
Something meeting something. I did look this up and I forgot what it stood for, but
I thought this is the type of thing that Kobe would test me with on air without giving me any warning. So I was trying to think of it without cheating, but thinking of it ahead of time, and I would have been wrong. I just looked it up and it means Federal Open Market Committee. Okay. Open Market Committee. So it's open, it's not closed.
Well, I think all of us know, for the most part, like the importance of it and interest rates, and like I don't think many of us know like the minutiae regarding the decision making process and all that. But anyway,
I think
so. That was this week, and that was a lot.
To your point, what's annoying is like all markets just sit there and hover on this one meeting, and every word that Jay Powell says, like this is annoying because it's why crypto should exist, is to get away from that.
Right.
And now crypto is just right alongside it. It's very sad. I think this.
I'm hoping we'll decouple from this nonsense eventually. Right now, we are far from decoupled from anything traditional finance.
Yeah.
In my opinion. But we're surviving down here, right? We're not like things aren't looking awful yet. We just got to stop making lower lows. That's all we got to do. And arguably, we still haven't really made a higher high. The weekly looks okay for BTC here. You could argue Dragonfly. You could argue Spinning Top, both of which are reversally type stuff. We want next week a close above 38.8 for BTC to confirm bullish reversal, bullish strength, stuff like that. We had a similar situation in January 2021 where we had this candle with a wick and we surpassed that wick on the next week. That's exactly what you want to see to confirm, like, okay, we're safe.
It feels bad. It doesn't look good and it feels bad. That's my psychological summary.
The other issue is, look at it on any trend system you want. I don't care, but I like cloud, and it's in the weekly cloud. And historically, if we start drifting below the weekly cloud, we get into some interesting situations on the bearish side of things.
Yeah.
So, like, what do you want to look at? You want to look at that? You want to look at the 2-year MA multiplier, which is another good, like, barometer for overbought, oversold type stuff. If it'll load for me, it doesn't look like it's going to. But I'll pull that up later. It just, oh, it's because it's on a weekly. Like, we're getting close to this. ETH is actually already in its historic area of oversold. And this won't tell you, like, the duration, or this won't save you, right? Dormancy flows will not save you. Whale wallets will not save you. Miner balances will not save you. It's all interesting to look at, but nothing's going to tell you the exact bottom. But this will tell you on a relative basis, if I'm backtesting, it makes sense that below 30.8 looks like the place where historically that's a good buying area.
Starts to become a value.
Right. And like I said, ETH is already there. It's been there for a few days now, actually. Where's a good...
Josh, do you talk about crypto with any in real life friends?
Yes. Why?
I'm just curious. I've noticed amongst my friends is that there's a blend. There's some fear for the people that like have been in for a while but haven't made a ton yet, that kind of thing. For my friends that are crypto curious but have not gotten in, they're all like licking their chops and basically thinking, either should I start buying now? Should I wait? I'm interested. I want to get involved. What do you think? You know, that kind of stuff. And that is all very interesting to me because we're 40% off the highs, more than that on some asset, like many assets. Maybe we're 50% off. And I think that's a sign of there's much more mainstream adoption already. So now it's it interests me because it makes me think that there's probably not like a 80% down situation for Bitcoin unless like legacy is super turmoil. I mean, super turmoil, all kinds of stuff can happen. But I do think that this there's willingness for regular folks to come buy the dip. And that's a soft pull, Rob, obviously. It's probably a half dozen of my friends, you know.
Yeah. NFTs, I think, are playing a big part of that still, which is crazy that volumes on NFTs month over month still rising based on data that I can tell. Activity in NFT land rising month over month still in the face of all this bearishness on price.
That's another thing is my friends know what NFTs are, which is like, it's shocking.
I think NFTs, like, as much as I want to hate on NFTs, they're one of the first things that people can like understand incredibly easily.
You know, like
they can understand like what it is, you know.
Did you see Paris Hilton and Jimmy Fallon talking about their Bored Apes on the Tonight Show the other day?
Yeah, I couldn't finish the video. It's too cringy, but people might not understand NFTs like through and through, but they get like, oh, this is quote unquote art, right? Like people can understand that a lot more than like an ICO or a current alternative currency even. Because we saw with Doge participation multiple times over the past 10 years, like pick up and bring in new people. But I think this NFT stuff seems to be bringing in even more people who wouldn't otherwise want to touch crypto.
To Jack's point in the chat, he says retail does not drive bull markets. I think that's true.
Retail doesn't drive bull markets?
I think it helps. I don't know that it's the primary driver because whales drive markets, right? Like whales are the primary drivers up and down. But retail is what gives, that's like wind in the sail, you know?
Main Street on aggregate.
I must have listened to the Sailor podcast too many times. Wait, dude, he talked about boats and rock the whole time and property. It was incredible. 2 hours of Sailor monologue.
I haven't had the pleasure of listening to it yet.
But, we asked like two questions each, but nevertheless, I still think that point stands. Like, whales are defining the trip. They are the boat runners, and the retail is the wind in the sails.
Okay. Well, every time I hear anything about retail, it's like, it's always negative. They're not coming back. They won't do this. They won't do that. Well, you know, they definitely have an impact and have had an impact.
I think retail is getting stronger too. Like they got destroyed in stocks. Like Robinhood's down 85%. Like I don't think crypto volatility is as intimidating as it once was. in the post-COVID, everyone's a day trader realm, you know?
Yeah, and I don't know. I think people are looking at this like 50% drawdown that gets the headlines, but in crypto, that's like not that big of a deal, as horrible as that might sound to the newer participants. Like, look at historic volatility, look at the historic drawdowns. These things take like 3 months to bottom and then 3 months to recover. And that's like quarter to quarter if it's not like a terrible multi-year bear market. So
I mean, I think we could still take time. We could still have a long time of repair. I'm not saying that. It's just more of a, I found it interesting that there's a tolerance in people to, you know, absorb the market a bit.
Yeah. This was from,
this is nice.
This was from GS, from Coinmetrics, from Frank at the Block, the tweet, but days since peak. You can see that most of these are really like 150 days or less, arguably 100 days or less, unless we're in these like terrible, quote unquote, you know, if you're bearish, it's great, but these like multi-year.
Yeah, there's only been a couple
bear markets. Yeah.
So that means we either bottom now or it's over.
Well, to me, it suggests that we need to figure something out soon, or we are going to set the course for what stuff like the Weekly Cloud is saying, where it's going to be, an extended bear market. Even on ETH.
This feels ETH more important. This feels more important as a factor of time for Bitcoin than it is price. Like, does anybody think Bitcoin is going below 20K?
Uh-oh, you just pulled the bit boy.
I'm just saying, like, I think Bitcoin will probably be absorbed pretty strongly. And I think that, he said the opposite. He said, if you don't think this can go below 20K, so I'm fading BitBoy to make clarity. I just think Bitcoin will be absorbed. It's already at 30 something, 36, 37. I just think it could have a grinding bottom, and, you know, your downside's maybe another 50% from here. Kind of worst case scenario.
Just think the variables in the near term like are so many. I don't know if it's because I'm just better connected than I was historically in like 2015, but there's this geopolitical thing going on. There's U.S. regulations going on.
I just think if you want to get a long term entry, you could start dollar cost averaging right now and not feel bad. You're already off the highs. You know, you're not buying the Pico top.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you on DCA when you're down 50 to 60% from an all-time high.
Yeah, I wouldn't DCA like altcoins, but I'd DCA Bitcoin. I'd personally DCA ETH. Good boy in the chat says he'd sell his organs at 20K. So, you know, I think there's true demand in the, like, any time in the 20s would probably be well absorbed. And I think 20K itself would be quite well protected. So
just concerns me in the near term that we don't have like these mega supports anywhere. Like from 20 to 40, it's kind of a barren looking area, you know?
Yeah. Well, it happens, you know, that's why people were calling for, what was it, like $15 ETH at the bottom of the bear market when it was at 80, because there was a big volume, a profile gap below that, and it just didn't happen because the utility of ETH was more visible. You remember that? I'm going to show it. I got it right here. So everybody's
here's
like,
a good, here's
let's
a
go
good
back to $15. Here. That was the thing, right? After the market ended, it got to, you know, it was below 100. It was 95% off the highs, and people were like, oh, well, it's got to go all the way back to the prior levels. And it just didn't do it. This gap was a gap that people allowed to not be filled. And Bitcoin's done the same thing, even the last
time. Yeah, I was going to say, like, that's a good thought experiment to look at 2018 and where that ended up versus how this looks. You know, this looked cliffing at the time. I was hoping that this would end up playing out as a white coffee and bottom. It did not. but we don't look I can't look at this bullish in any way, like price structurally.
I'm not asking you to. I don't think it
looks no I know but I'm just saying, like, that's the problem. That's part of the issue. Trend is bad, structure is bad. Yes, we've got fundamentals on our side. I can point to like on-chain data to say this looks like, or starting to look like, a bottom like it has previously. But this was, what percentage was this? 83? 83 off the top is 10K, you know?
No way.
I don't think so either. But until we start to find some sort of bottom definitively, we have to be open to possibilities, I guess.
I will say that the duck being right and getting a fill at like 14K would be hilarious. That would be epic level patience.
But the fundamentals are strong for this coin. Like ETH's activity on chain is still as high as it was at the highs.
It's extremely high. It's practically deflationary. It's burning so much ETH. The fees are insane, which is bad, not good. But
it's losing against BTC as far as the ratio is concerned.
Yeah, a little bit, but not like, it's not dramatic yet.
Just weird to see that. It's weird to see ETH at 2.0 vault plus EAP 1559 plus activity on chain, and you wouldn't know it. You'd have no idea looking at the price chart that things were the way they were.
Yeah, it's being very rude to my magnet. Like my magnet is at 0.1 and it just refuses. I strongly, strongly believe in 100K, 10K. The same way as I believed in 6K, 60K. Obviously, you know, ETH is outpaced at times, but not, it never quite hit those levels. It got to 5. Did it get to 5K?
ETH?
Yeah.
I don't think it got quite that high.
4,800.
Yeah, something like that.
4,905.
Yeah, there you go.
So in the long-term sense, I'm not perturbed. In the short term sense, I do feel like this is a failed pattern that now looks like a kind of funky range. I don't really know what to think about that. Like, I wouldn't say that it's impossible for ETH to go to 0.04. That would be punishing, but it's not impossible from a technical perspective.
For a lot of this stuff, the lower it goes, the better risk reward gets. Does that mean it's not going to go lower? Of course not. Does that mean it's not going to be in a 6-month bear market? Of course not.
The chat is saying, why would ETH be valued at 10K? Who would pay 10K for one ETH? The answer to that is basically, if the market determines that ETH is still the best way to do smart contracting, and ETH as the denominating currency on those layer twos, and using scalable layer twos that are secured by ETH, and burning ETH while you're at it, to put less ETH out in the market, it's less inflationary, maybe it's deflationary. All those are very good reasons for it to become worth 10K. Very good reasons. Retail will be able to afford it because there will be places to use ETH where the fees are lower, Mr. Flea Flicker.
Have you been following the Wonderland time spell, Mim, Luna stuff that's been going on?
Yeah, it's a complete disaster. If anybody's unaware, the Wonderland, Danny is the creator, I guess, of Wonderland, and the right-hand man, Sifu, turned out to be the co-founder of Quadriga, and that was very bad. He was not convicted of anything with regards to Quadriga, but it was highly suspect, and he has been convicted of fraud, convicted of crimes and put in jail in the past prior to Quadriga. He had changed his name. This is the third time he's used a new handle, name, whatever. And it came, Danny found out, apparently knew for about a month before, and then did not make a change. Sifu was managing the treasury, had all of the telltale signs of things that could become problematic. And to date, it's not, doesn't appear resolved. There's like some kind of on-chain vote about whether to keep him or not, which like they just need to get rid of him. Anyway, lots of drama, and it's having impacts on the stablecoin market, which I think is more important than like whether whether an ohm fork lives or dies. The impact on MIM and the Abracadabra system, which Danny also runs, is potentially more important because if MIM depegs, it affects, you know, stable swaps, curve stuff, curve pools, potentially has weird effects on other stable coins. All a complete disaster. Not good.
You know, I don't want to see stuff fail as much as I'm a maxi. I don't want to see stuff fall apart. But at the same time, events like this, like the anti-fragility argument, sort of need to happen to see like what is worth it and what isn't, right? Like survival of the fittest. I know a lot of people who lost a lot of money, right? But
Tom Sillerim asked if it's actually been shown that he took money from Wonderland. The answer to that, I believe, is no. It's more of, is such a person qualified to exist in that role? The answer is also no, like definitively. And, you know, there probably needs to be like audits or investigations on identifying what he did. I don't know. I don't know the answer, but go ahead, Josh. I just want to answer that. Yes. And Exit Scam is a great podcast about Quadriga. You should listen to it.
I was just going to say, like, it's horrible. It's awful if you lost money in that. But in order for crypto to like survive long term, it's almost like we need events like that to clean up certain people and things. I don't know. There's no nice way to put it, but
yeah. I mean, I don't think it was a bad project. It was just a bad person to be involved in a project, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I was just looking at the ETH again. The TK is potentially a TKC clamp. That's another like bottomy thing. RSI is bottomed out significantly. Of course, it can go lower. I mean, look at anything, but we're trying to look for reasons to be bottomy here and mean reversion-y potentially. I like this TKC clamp forming, which points to 3,400. I like 3,400 by the end of March. How's that sound?
I like that a lot. I would very much like 3,400.
If we don't make lower lows, 3,400 by the end of March on ETH. I like that. And for BTC, I think it's like 38. It's 46. Jesus. Sorry. 46. Yeah, 38 is basically where we are now. 46 for BTC by March, 34 for ETH. I just think we need more time to be sure. I think that's all this comes down to. Like, buying indiscriminately down here based on being down 50% from highs is fine. But I think, not trading advice, but I think if you're trading this, like as I'm looking at this myself for trading purposes, I want to see something more than whatever this is currently.
Yeah.
I don't know about you.
No, I agree. From an investing sense, I'm fine being in.
Right.
From a trading sense, it's been a total, like, if you're just trying to get entries down here, it's been a total chop fest. Like, I got almost the lows, and I've held those spot coins, but like the trying to trade within it, like, I've never carried enough of the trend. Like, it's just not worth it. It's not been worth it. I wanted to look at Solana versus ETH, Solana versus BTC, both bad. Solana versus the dollar, also bad. This looks highly distribution-ish, just like we've talked about before. Another week.
Hold on. Let me write this down. Ledger, bearish, Solana. Okay.
It's just. I'm not even bearish Solana. I'm just saying doesn't look good. It just doesn't look good on a relative basis or on a dollar basis.
I'll agree that does not look good on a relative basis. On a dollar basis, you could argue some sort of triple bottom, low time frame going on.
Yeah. But you're knife hunting. You're trying to catch a bottom.
Yeah, but all this is predicated on not making lower lows. Like, if we are consolidating and not making lower lows, and there's something here that's a fractal that matches something, I'll say, okay, like this doesn't look like it's going to go lower to me in the moment. It certainly looks like it wants to break whatever that triangle is. Does that mean it's going to do it? No, but I don't know.
It just looks like it wants to go to between $40 and $50 to me.
It doesn't look like a bearish fractal. We'll put it like that. You got a descending volume profile.
Johnny, our friend Johnny Mo, would be drawing a triangle out of that as a continuation pennant. I agree on this time frame, on the daily time frame, it looks a little stronger. When you get down to those lower ones, I think you could draw a continuation pennant on that.
I don't know. The cloud is on my side. Cloud says anything above 95 is go time for Solana, but we cannot make lower lows. I do like that we're triple bottoming within the triple bottom, you know, but you just have to stop making lower lows. That's all it comes down to. We did survive the meeting, like we talked about earlier, which is like a good step in not making lower lows.
Yeah, the FOMC.
Because initially, like the announcement, like first, it was like, oh, no rate hikes. And then it was like towards the press conference, the more he talked, the worse and worse and worse the markets were looking, because the markets were realizing, oh, we're not hiking rates now, but we're going to do all this hawkish stuff. Or we're going to try to, at least that's what it sounded like, towards the rest of the year, right?
Yeah. I mean, they just do their best every time to say nothing.
Yeah, that's also true.
So four rate hikes was the anticipation. I think the market has depriced that. So like now priced in fewer than four. Four were priced in. And also,
I've seen so many like estimates and probabilities on rate hikes. I'm just sick of talking about it, hearing about it. Like there could be seven, there could be zero.
Real quick though, there's a couple of things to consider. There's if people are not aware, you can change rates and you can also adjust the balance sheet, meaning you're either buying assets or selling assets. If they're selling assets, it's quantitative tightening. That's another thing. So tapering is just buying less. They are still buying. They're still on a buy program for buying assets, which is supportive of liquidity in the market. So if they taper, they will buy less. If they tighten, it means they're not only not buying at all, but they're selling. And that's a scenario where I don't know what the market's pricing, but in terms of people I listen to, most people think that they will never actually sell assets. Like they'll never wind the balance sheet down fully. They'll just get to a point to where they're not buying. So they'll taper, but not tighten. So if they taper, but not tighten, and they have fewer than four rate hikes, I think that would probably establish a place where the market can bottom out.
I just want to not be correlated to legacy anymore. Is that ever going to happen?
Yeah. Ooh. Marathon Crypto in the chat said Bank of America updated their forecast to seven hikes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I just want this to go away. This is ETH, BTC, and NASDAQ futures, and they're all just staying the same. You know?
Yeah. Why bother being in anything else? Like, just being the most liquid one.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people, I think, are starting to discuss.
Well, I think that, and that's supportive of my, like, why hold Solana type of, like, not just Solana, but, like, the high flyers, right? If there's contraction kind of across the board and everything's correlated, your down days in the big altcoins are going to be worse, and your up days are, so far at least, quite muted. Sometimes cash is the best position, Sick Mode says.
Speaking of cash,
yeah.
We were talking about this on the pre-show, but DXY making mega, mega highs here.
Wow, it's above 97.
It's another thing, regardless of your feelings of the DXY, correlatively, it is bad for BTC if you're bullish. We don't want to see a strong DXY if you're bullish BTC.
We've beat
this horse to death so many times already, but
it looks extremely bullish on all of our metrics that we talk about. That's a clean cloud breakout. It's a clean 200-week moving average breakout retest, like literally beautiful. That should have been our signal to get out of crypto right here. Boom.
Well, it looked like it was going to stay in the cloud for a little bit of time, but this week has just been insane.
Yeah.
That's not good. The VIX is up. Good. That's not good for crypto.
That's not good at all. That makes me sad. Oh.
Very strong. That's probably like the strongest week since June for the DXY.
Since it ran through the cloud.
Yeah. So that's a thing.
So
anything else on your radar?
No, I mean
anything less depressing?
It doesn't mean it has to. It doesn't mean it has to moon, but like all of 2018, the Dixie went up. That was the bear market last time, right? This whole thing, crypto bear market. Now it bottomed along this like grindy portion, so the Dixie could do the same thing. You go to 100, could grind up, and we bottomed somewhere in there. But this is not indicative of like, you know, crypto strength. This is where the crypto bull market occurred last time. This is why we look at the dollar for what it's worth. Like these strong trend changes have been very powerful.
Yeah. So that worries me, right? If we're sitting at this level on the USD pairs and we get strength elsewhere that is inverse based on historical correlations, you know, that is cause for concern if you're still bullish here, if you're hoping for some miracle.
You just bringing up Doge BTC to punish people?
As a trader, that stuff concerns me. I don't know why I bring this up. I just have it on my 4x2 because I just always, I'm curious what it's doing. It's still up here, which is crazy to me. It's still at 376. Like, why? It, you know, Doge and SHIB are both in the top 15 market cap.
Yeah. If we go full bear, that, I mean, it's down only either way. But if we go full bear, like, the end of the bear market will be hinted when that gets back into the range of forever death where it belongs.
Yeah, and dominance is another one. People are slowly starting to talk about again. That, what's the thing? USD...
BTC.D.
BTC.D, yeah, that's it. People are slowly starting to talk about that again because I think it turned around. I haven't looked at it. It's starting to turn around. I don't know, man. Dominance. The problem is when you get rising Bitcoin dominance, it's usually bearish for like the market. Because like the vacuum's getting sucked out of altcoins, isn't it? You're going back into BTC.
Yep.
On a relative basis.
Yep. It's not necessarily bearish overall, though. Like it doesn't have to be.
No. No. But yeah, dominance is going back up.
Like December, fall of 2020, everything went to Bitcoin, and Bitcoin was very, very bullish, and a bunch of stuff wound down. That would be ideal, honestly. If Bitcoin bottoms, or like Bitcoin and ETH, whatever we consider the dominant stuff in the market, let's just say Bitcoin. If Bitcoin bottomed and was able to rally, and liquidity still left altcoins or whatever, that would be fine. That gives you an opportunity to live another day. If dominance goes up because Bitcoin's going down, everything else is going down harder, it's not as good.
Yeah.
And I picked on Solana. AVAX is exactly the same. I'm not trying to pick favorites or anything here. This can be a result. This can happen.
That's part of the other issue. Not only are we correlating with legacy, but we're correlating with crypto like across the board. Even like the Lunas and the
there's not many Maddox
of the world aren't doing so hot either up here. You know, Matic had a chance to break out and didn't. That was like the one holdout that actually looked decently okay for the longest time.
Yep. And for what it's worth, we've said words along the lines of like full bear. I don't know if by definition, Yeah, sure. By definition, relative to like the 200-day moving average and stuff, we're in a bear market. The question is it mini bear like this, or is it secular bear like when you go looking at the 200-week instead? Secular bear, you're looking for this target, right? Below the 20-week, mini bear. It's arbitrary the way I'm defining it, but that's how I would define it. The trend is not our friend, but are we dead to the tune of capturing percent downside within a cyclical market, a full cyclical market? That's the differences here, but I think we are cleanly in a bear market, a mini bear.
Yeah, I mean, we're below the cloud, we're below the 200. That's bearish. So I do like the level though. You know, if we want to grind lower, that's the level everybody's going to be watching, because it's never broken.
The 200 week?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was screaming about it back here. Nobody cared.
Well, I remember.
Here, we went below it intraday, like this daily end of week. Oh, that was all within like 48 hours, all that wick action there. But that was the scariest this trend has ever had of a moment in COVID liquidity issues. So, yeah. If you believe full bear, you can just wait for this. It'll probably be like here.
I don't know if it'll be that high, but
why? It might take all year to get there.
Yeah, it might. I don't know. I'm so lukewarm about the trend. Neutral, I guess, is what I'd say. Like the macro stuff on high time frames. We're still in the 30 to 60K range. It's not death and devastation just yet. We could just range for another year or two. That's also a possibility. The moment we bounce, people are going to say, oh, we're going to 100,000K, right? That's just kind of how it is. People, when you're at lows, you look lower. When you're at highs, you look higher, right? Like,
yeah.
That's how it's going to be.
And to answer the question, I am not currently like overly bearish or anything. I'm trying to be responsive to the market. Like I think my thought was this, we were setting the low here, like a low that we can do something from. The question is, how big of a something do you get?
It, as a trader, would I be shorting? No, I
right. wouldn't be. That's my point.
But would I also be longing either? No, I think just doing nothing and waiting is an investor. Would I be buying? Not investment advice, but
maybe so.
I think any price lower, it just gets better and better as an entry point, you know?
Yeah.
Because what, we got from here to zero? So the lower it goes, the better it's going to look.
Yeah.
That's the classic argument.
That's where we are. DCA.
Zoom out.
DCA, have fun. Don't lose all your money. Pay your taxes. If you had your bingo cards out. Josh, what are you looking at for the week ahead?
There's like this executive order coming for crypto, all sorts of agencies after crypto, after DeFi.
Oh, dude, this week was real bad. There's like some stablecoin hearing on February. There's a executive order from the Biden administration coming out.
So on top of all that is that Wonderland stuff that was going on, which isn't going to help the situation, you know, if regulators catch wind of that quickly.
Yeah.
That's only going to make things worse. I don't know.
There were two Bitcoin ETF rejections, I think.
I think there were four.
Four. Yeah. Real fun.
Yeah. But
I think this is going to be a year where regulators really try to set some clarity on stable coins, which might mean smashing them. So
Well, I think clarity is good for everybody at the end of the day.
Yeah, like them getting smashed is, it's not the outcome I would prefer, but it's at least an outcome.
Yeah. Yeah, stablecoins not looking good in the algorithmic stablecoins as far as what's going on lately.
Yeah. We'll see. All right.
How about you? Got anything specific looking at?
NFTs are the only thing that have any bullishness. And so like the art, I had a prediction that after the profile pictures flew, that people would go back to the art, and art blocks might have a chance. And Chromy Squiggles are up a little bit. Art block stuff is up a little bit. Maybe the art stuff can move. It's a relative value to, 92 ETH Bored Apes or whatever they are. So I know it sounds ridiculous, but you know, I got a decent amount in NFT stuff still that I've maintained exposure with, and I'm liking it. Win NFT podcast.
I think we'll know by March, though. I think we'll know by March.
Oh, for the
end of March.
Whether
end of March.
We're full bear or not?
Yeah. We'll know by end of March, full bear, which is a long time. That's an eternity from now to end of March, right?
But it is a long time. There's a long time to lose money between now and then.
One way to think about it, yeah.
Thanks for being here, y'all. We'll catch you later. Go to YouTube, Apple, whatever. I think my website's down right now, so don't go there. Talk to you later. Monuments crumble in the blink of an eye. Go to Josh's YouTube. What's that, Josh? Carpe Noctem.
Carpe Noctem. Valkyrie. In a house of cards.